other can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Good to have you with us today, talking about evangelization, talking about discipleship and following Jesus. Hope you're having a great day, and it's going to be a good weekend too. Big weekend for the Twin Cities, actually. We've got the a number of things happening in the church, and we're going to be talking about those a little bit later. But I think that the spotlight also is on the Twin Cities with our own Minnesota Wild on Sunday. Big out of TCF Stadium. That's going to be quite the big deal. And the whole world of hockey will be watching the Twin Cities. But you know what? There's so much happening in the church. In today's show, we're going to talk about some opportunities for both men and women to take a step of faith and see what God can do in their life. Andrew Zipp, he's a seminarian. He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about a really powerful opportunity called Totus Tuus, where a young person can volunteer for about 8 weeks in the summer and be a part of sharing the gospel from parish to parish, and you stay in homes, and it's really a life-transforming experience for young people. And Andrew's going to share his experience. That's coming up. And our own Father Bloom, he's the vocational director of vocations for the Archdiocese, and he is going to be joining us and talking about a really powerful retreat for women, a discernment retreat, which is coming up on April 2nd. And so through the mystery of radio, talking through the air to you, who knows, somebody's life could change as a result of this show. You know, as I look back over my life, and hopefully I'm in the mid part of it right now, but as I look back, I see how there were opportunities given to me. And maybe you feel that way about your own life. As you look back, and I'm in my 50s, so I look back in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s and even the 60s, and you look at opportunities that were given to you, doors that were begging to be opened. And as you went through those doors, as you stepped into that opportunity, life changed. And my wife and I were talking a while ago about this. There's two ways to live your life. There's actually about 100, but there's two ways for right now for the sake of this argument. And one is that, boy, you can just play it safe, you know? You just go day in and day out, and you play it safe. You know, you don't take any chances. You draw in between the lines all the time. And as a result of it, life is pretty predictable. It has its usual ups and downs, but not a lot of change. I don't know. There's something about that that doesn't fit with me. I know it does with some people, but it doesn't fit with me. I like to step out of the boat, you know, occasionally when you sense that God is opening a door for you, and you kind of look to the right, you look to the left, and you think, should I go through this door? And as I look back, I see that when I went through that door and got out of the boat, yeah, it was a little scary, a little risky, it felt like at times. But you know what? Life changed in a powerful way for me. And I think that is deep down inside something we all want to do. It's kind of like looking at that great big huge roller coaster and wondering, do I really want to do that? Do I really want to go on that ride? And afterwards, you're thrilled. It was so exciting. And I think that life in Christ is kind of like that. You know, that there are the days where it's predictable, and we do drive down the middle of the lane there. And then there are days where the Lord is asking us to go off path and something that is exciting and different, and we have to make that decision. I've found that those paths are the exciting ones that really do change life. And so I want to encourage you, as we're going to talk about some opportunities coming up in the Twin Cities for young men and women, I want to encourage you to kind of challenge yourself, you know, of how you're living your life. And are you going through open doors in your life, or just playing it safe every single day? Now, I'm not saying live risk in a risky way, and I'm not saying do anything that would be It wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. I'm not talking about that kind of thing at all. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about doing something for Jesus that you normally wouldn't do, or stepping out of that comfort zone. And that's where I think it makes a difference oftentimes. And my wife and I, we've been discussing this ourselves. And I wouldn't change it. You know what? I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change any of those doors that I walked through, where I was walking away from one thing and kind of into this fog of, Lord, where are you taking me? But the fog went away, and suddenly I realized, Lord, you have a master plan here, and this is so good. And ultimately, it's not taking chances on other people or things. You're really, really trusting in God. And that's the way to do it. So a little bit later on in the show, I'm going to talk about faithfulness a little bit. We're going to talk with Andrew Zipp. We're going to talk with Father Bloom about a couple of opportunities. And then we're going to wind up the show, and I'm going to talk about faithfulness and what God is calling you to do in your life. So if you're at that place where you're thinking, boy, I could use that, stick around. Call up a friend. Tell them to tune in to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Zipp talking about Totus Tuus. Rediscover.
For more than 150 years, the family of Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cemeteries have been the trusted choice of families by providing all of the services needed at the end of life. The local experts at Washburn McGreevy continue to show the compassion only a family-operated company can offer. Their 16 updated and remodeled facilities serve our area parishes and communities with a professional staff that will visit your home to assist with no obligation pre-planning funeral and cremation services. Washburn McGreevy can also assist with veterans or Social Security benefits related to the end of life. It makes sense to contact Washburn McGreevy soon to pre-plan or to become familiar with all of the help and experience a full-service funeral chapel and cemetery can provide at your time of need. No matter where you live in the Twin Cities, you will be connected to a caring professional near you by calling 612-377-2203. Washburn McGreevy continues to present the Daily Mass and Rosary on Relevant Radio.
Today on the Rediscover Hour, we're talking with Andrew Zipp. He's a first-year theology seminarian from St. Michael's in St. Michael, Minnesota. And we're talking about an exciting opportunity called Totus Tuus, and going to find out a little bit more about it. And maybe God is calling you to be a part of Totus Tuus. So I want to welcome you to the show, Andrew.
Thanks, Jeff.
So you're a seminarian.
Yeah, it's my fifth year in the seminary, first year at the St. Paul Seminary. I love it. It's been
great.
That's fantastic.
And you've been a part of Totus Tuus, and we've heard that title around the Archdiocese a few times, but for those that are not familiar with what Totus Tuus is, give us kind of a synopsis.
Well, yeah, so I just did that this past summer, and it's very much like a vacation Bible school, but very much very, very Catholic. And it was great to be a part of it and to get into the parishes throughout the Archdiocese and to teach things about the virtues, about the mysteries of the Rosary, and really just to like see the kids' reaction to all these truths of the faith.
So you're interacting with them,
yeah,
dealing with virtue, the Rosary. And how long were you participating?
So it was 8 weeks over the course of the summer,
okay.
And each week we were at a different parish. During the day, we were working with grade school kids, kindergarten through sixth grade. And then the evenings, we were working with middle school and high schoolers. Mm-hmm. It was a great time.
What kind of response did you get from the kids?
From the younger kids, it was great. They picked up on the stuff. Learning about it, I thought this is a lot for them to take in. But they picked up on it, and they understood it. And same thing with the high schoolers. And they seemed to all love and have a great time with it.
That's fantastic. How did you hear about the opportunity? I mean, 8 weeks that's a long time.
Yeah. So, I had some friends who had done it in years past, and just a lot of really good things. Being in the seminary, it was talked about a lot. A lot of guys do that with their own diocese back home. And so when Father Bloom asked me to do it, or at the time it was Father Troy, asked me to do it. I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. It was, for me, a great chance to be in the archdiocese and in the parishes.
Sure. Well, I'm sure that it had an impact on the kids, both young and older, that you were interacting with. But how did it change you? What impact did it have in your life?
Well, for me, it was a great experience to be in the parish and to sort of see, to get a relationship, develop a relationship with the families there, and sort of see, like, even after a week, falling in love with these families and then moving to another parish. For me, it gave me a great taste of what the priesthood might be like in the future.
Well, I understand that you did stay in host homes.
Yes.
Were you in a host home the whole time?
Yes. Yeah, so each week we moved from one host home to another, depending on where we were at.
Okay.
And it was wonderful. You know,
a lot of different food.
A lot of different food. Each night we were at a different host family for dinner, and so you're with families, and then at night you go home, and oftentimes we were just. It was a couple living together and just like opening up their home to us.
So you must have gained a few pounds.
A little bit, yeah.
That's. But you get to meet so many interesting people. And I think you're right. As a seminarian, it probably gave you an opportunity to get used to meeting a lot of people. If that's what you end up becoming as a priest, uh-huh. And you'll be used to that. Would you recommend this for a friend? And who would you recommend it for?
I'd definitely recommend it to a friend. Especially a seminarian, somebody who's like wanting to study or is studying for a particular diocese to get involved in the Totus Tuus program. It's a great opportunity to meet the priests and the parishes and the people in the archdiocese, in their diocese. Here in the archdiocese, it was great. I'd also recommend it to anybody who's really looking to grow in their own faith. You know, it was a great opportunity for that.
How many people were you working with?
It really varied from parish to parish. One parish, we had as little as like 14 kids. Mm-hmm. And in another parish, we had a lot, like almost 100 kids.
But you were part of a team.
We were a part of a team of four.
Okay, team of four. Not all seminarians?
Not all seminarians. So there's two guys, two girls. The other guy on my team was another seminarian. And the two girls on my team were from Benedictine College.
Hmm. So when you think back about your 8-week experience, is there a highlight? Is there interaction with one particular child or a family that stands out?
You know, when I think back, one of the most memorable moments for me was just being with different priests and just seeing how much they cared for the youth in their parish and how excited they were to have them. For us to be there and be a part of that was just truly incredible.
Oh, that's great. Well, I hope that that others will listen to this and perhaps consider it. If somebody wants to be a part of a Totus Tuus team this coming year, where would they go?
I think they go to the Archdiocese website. Okay. I think it's 10,000 vocations. Or they can contact Nancy Schulte-Polacek here at the Archdiocese.
At the seminary?
No, she's with the Archdiocese Office of Family.
Oh, okay, sure. That's right. Just call the Office of Family Life. That's fantastic. Well, I hope that we get a lot of people as a result of it, and I want to thank you for stopping by the show today and telling us a little bit about your experience with Totus Tuus. And, of course, Totus Tuus means?
Totally yours.
Totally yours, and that's what you're doing, and that's what you're experiencing. So thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming by. So, my friends, if you know of some... young person that is interested in spending 8 weeks going around to parishes and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, virtue, and the blessings of the church, check this out. Check it out. And go to 10,000 Vocations or call the Archdiocese and ask for the Office of Family and Marriage and get more information on it. It's called Totus Tuus. We'll be back right after this.
This is Kerry Becker of Becker Building and Remodeling. Have you been considering a kitchen remodel to update your home? Did you know that in about 1 month we can totally update your kitchen and make it more useful and functional? We've updated dozens of kitchens for Relevant Radio listeners to improve the value and enjoyment of their home. Our design and remodel team will take the stress and guesswork out of the project, and with our competitive pricing, you'll get even more value than you expect. Plus, our work is guaranteed. We can include beautiful custom cabinets, granite countertops, and center islands. We also specialize in opening up your floor plan by removing walls that are no longer needed. We can begin the design and build process today if you call me at 612-363-0493. Becker Building and Remodeling, a Catholic-owned business you can trust. Keep on listening in 2016 and keep the faith. See our work at choosebecker.com or call me at 612-363-0493 for a visit about updating your kitchen.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Today we're talking about opportunities to serve Christ and to find real meaning in your life. You know, in the Catholic Church, we have a term called vocations. And I know that in denominations around the country, it's not really a familiar term, to be honest with you. I myself was a Protestant pastor for 12 years. I never even heard that term during those years. It is, I think, a uniquely Catholic term to talk about vocations. And vocations is a call on your life to the priesthood, to the religious life. I am living in the vocation of marriage right now. It is a primary call in my life. Maybe you've played this game before growing up, and that is, you know, when you were 12, 13 years old, you were sitting there in the backyard, sitting on the porch and thinking, somewhere in this world right now is my future wife. She may be a mile away or 5 miles away or 20 miles away, and I wonder what she's doing right now. And I wonder if I've walked, you know, pastor at Southdale or the Mall of America or whatever. We think about these things, you know, in our future. And I would say that right now in the Twin Cities, throughout Minneapolis and St. Paul, there are young men, young women who are called to the priesthood, men called to the priesthood, women called to the religious life. And they may be at Southdale right now or the Mall of America. Maybe they're going to play volleyball tonight for one of the high schools, and they don't even know it. They're not even sure. They have no sense, really, right now of what the future holds, but God has called them. And so the process of discovering that is what one whole office in this archdiocese is about, and that is the Office of Vocations. In fact, we have a director. Father Bloom is our director for the Office of Vocations and doing a great job. And he was formerly the pastor of St. Patrick's up in Oak Grove, up there by, well, near Canada, kind of. But Father Bloom, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Welcome. It's good to be here.
Good to have you back south here.
Yes, it is good to be back south.
And we make fun of that, but it is St. Patrick's is part of the archdiocese, but it is a little bit of a haul up there.
It is a ways up there. And, you know, it's a big archdiocese. It is. We've got 12 counties. And so we have the bulk of the people are more in the central area, but we have a lot of people in the outlying areas.
And you were called by the Archbishop to become the vocations director. How long ago was that you received that calling?
It's funny when you ask that question because it seems like a long time, but it was actually, it was February 17th, I believe, last year. It was the day before Ash Wednesday, whenever that was, and it was quite a jolt. Not because I didn't want to be the director of vocations. That was very intriguing, but I really loved parish life.
Sure, yeah, you start to become bonded with these people and
absolutely.
A father to them.
Yep.
Yeah, I can understand that perfectly. Well, now you're the director of vocations, and you know, using that analogy right before I introduced you, of somewhere out there right now, there are young men right now that are going to be priests in 15 years from now, 10 years from now, and don't even know it right now. They don't even know it. And that whole process of discovering the call of God on your life is different for every person, isn't it? I mean, it's a different path, and they discover it in different ways. So it must be interesting for you to see how these discoveries take place.
You know, it is. There are many different paths, and everyone is individual. We're all... you know, we all have so many different things going on in our lives. The Lord takes those things and He uses them. And it might surprise us how he uses some of the things in our lives to call us closer to himself. You know, we had a discernment retreat in December. Bishop Cousins was with us, and it was wonderfully attended. But I found some humor in a conversation with a man who was there who said, "Father, I didn't realize this was a discernment retreat. I thought this was a men's retreat.
What have I got into?"
And I said, "Well, you know, you might have been confused, but perhaps the Holy Spirit was not.
Providence, perhaps, yeah.
Yes. So.
No, that's beautiful. You know, I think back about in my life. You know, I've been a Bible teacher and all of that, evangelist, and love discipleship. It really, for me, it really came down to one man asking me a question one time. And he said, "Have you ever thought of being a Bible teacher?" And I said, "No, I'd pass out when I stand in front of people. That's not my calling."
Sure.
And it turned out that that was the conversation that really turned my life in a completely different direction. And I've spoken to sisters, I've spoken to priests and deacons who it was somebody else saying something to them that really did get them thinking, and they couldn't let it go.
That's right. That's a very, very common thing. And in particular, it is when a priest asks a young man, or someone who's not so young, to consider priesthood. "Have you ever considered being a priest?" That is very powerful. And the thing is, when we ask those questions, what we're really saying is, "I think you have what it takes." Mm-hmm. That's it's an incredible compliment.
Yep.
And So asking that question is something we don't want to take lightly. We don't want to just ask everybody, but we want to ask those who have a life of prayer, who seem to have a desire for the things of God, who, you know, we see qualities in them that would make for a good priest.
You mentioned that phrase, "I think you have what it takes." That reminds me so much of the language of a rabbi in the first century, because a rabbi in the first century would say to a young man at the age of 14, "Lech acharai," in Hebrew, "come follow me." And then he would say to them, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," which literally meant 2,000 years ago, "I think you have what it takes. I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you." And you're right, to hear that from a great priest, but to hear that from Jesus, "I think you have what it takes to become a priest," must be a very, very powerful thing that resonates deep inside.
Absolutely, especially if he says it in English. But
drop the Hebrew.
Yeah, the Hebrew doesn't work so well. It is very powerful. And, you know, there's different people in my own life who ask that question. And so it starts you thinking. Mm-hmm. Is this something that God is calling me to? And oftentimes, I think other people see things in us that we don't see in ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so that's actually very effective. It's a very good thing. It's a very powerful thing. The Lord works through that.
A good example of that is every morning you probably see yourself straight on. Go to the mall and try on a suit or something and go to one of those mirrors that wraps around and then look and see yourself from the side. You say, "That doesn't look like me." Well, that's the way everybody sees you. But you don't see yourself that way, and I think that's true with the calling, too.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some opportunities that are coming up, but before we do that, you are in a long line of really good vocation directors, very effective vocation directors here in the Twin Cities, and I get a chance to travel, and I know some of our listeners travel also, and I have to say, we have an exceptional, for lack of a better word, program going on in the Twin Cities right now with both the John Vianney, St. John Vianney College Seminary, but also St. Paul Seminary. We are experiencing a lot of young men coming in, a lot of young men making application. We have been living in a difficult time. What do you think is happening in the Twin Cities that is bringing so many vocations out, even in comparison to other places around the country?
You know, in all that we've gone through, in all that we may go through, we have a lot of people who are praying, mm-hmm. praying before the Blessed Sacrament. They're praying the Rosary. They're asking for the intercession of the Mother of God. They're begging God to heal our church, to bring us ever closer to Himself. And the Lord hears those prayers. I believe the Holy Spirit is working very powerfully in the hearts and minds of many of our young people. And it is because people are praying. That is the most important thing that we can do. We can go before God. And what a great thing to do in this season of Lent. Mm-hmm. Go before the Lord and beg of Him for many holy men and women to step forward and to help lead and guide the church. And so I believe that is what is happening. I've been somewhat surprised at the number of young people showing interest. You know, we have what's called the Miriam Dinner and the Andrew Dinner, and those are opportunities for young people to come and those who are not so young. I always have to add that. And
is that up to 50?
Yes. So it's for men. We have the Andrew Dinner, and that is for that's 16 to 50. For mm-hmm. women, it is 16 to 35. And so for the Miriam Dinner. But those events have been full. They've been packed. And that's wonderful. And, you know, we have a time of prayer. We have a meal. Bishop Cousins gives a talk. We have sharings from religious sisters. Or if it's the Andrew Dinner, we have sharings from priests and brothers talking about their vocation. There's a lot of response on these events. Our vocations retreat in December was full. We had a lot of guys there.
And wasn't Bishop the...
Bishop Cousins was giving the talk there.
Yeah.
And so these things do help men and women consider and to pray and to discern what God is calling them to.
That's fantastic. So I know we have a couple of things coming up, and we want to tell our listeners about it, but let me maybe just preface it with this. You're listening to the show right now. It is the Rediscover Hour, and you may be married and have four or five kids right now, and you're on your way to school to do something, or you're on your way to work, whatever. You might be the conduit. You might be the tool that God uses to stimulate interest in somebody else. And so if you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm already married, I'm not going to become a priest or whatever, you might be part of this whole equation or a cog in the midst of it. So listen carefully here, because there might be opportunities for you to introduce somebody to one of these events coming up that could make a difference in this archdiocese. And think about it. If what you do leads to somebody recognizing their call to become a priest, just think in 25 years from now, the fruitfulness of that priest, the fruitfulness of that sister, and you might be able to track that spiritual DNA back to today in what you did to help out. So I was talking with Father Bloom about this. So what we do have some major things happening. Talk to us about that.
Yes. We have a couple of things that we're rolling out here. Starting next week, we are starting a women's discernment group. We're actually calling it kind of a discussion series on discernment. We're doing this for four Saturdays, and those Saturdays are going to start next weekend, and then February 27th to March 19th, and we'll be at St. Charles Borromeo. And so you're welcome to come for Mass at 8 a.m. After Mass, we'll have some coffee and donuts. You got to have that if you're really going to discern properly. and then we're going to have a discussion. And there's going to be each Saturday, there'll be a religious sister who will be present and will focus on a particular area of discerning one's call.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is for women who are a senior in high school up to age 30. And so roughly 18 to 30.
Okay.
And then...
And how do people find out about that?
Right. Well, through Relevant Radio.
If they want to go on the web, they want to sign up.
Sure. So you go to 10,000vocations.org.
Okay.
10,000vocations.org. And we'll have some information there. So that starts next Saturday. A week later, we're going to start a men's discernment group. And that's going to be a little bit different, but we'll still start with Mass. Those who would like to join us for Mass at 8, that's at the parish. Afterwards, of course, coffee, donuts, and we'll sit down and discuss. And we've got the dates on our website. And That's going to be using a book that a lot of young men who are discerning have. And if they don't have it, we'll just give them a complimentary copy. And we'll be reading through chapters of a book and talking about what it is that God is doing in our lives. And
where
hearts.
Does that take place at?
So that'll be also at St. Charles Borromeo.
Okay, both of them. Okay.
Yes. And so then we have, for the women, we have an all-day retreat.
Okay.
And that is coming up on April 2nd, and that is going to be at Nativity of Mary Catholic Church in Bloomington. And that's going to start at 8 a.m. with Mass, and it'll go all day until about 3 o'clock. And again, we're going to have various talks given by religious sisters. We're going to have times of prayer. So we'll have a talk, and then after that talk, those who are there could visit with the sister, the sisters who are present. They can also go into the church and spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. There'll be an opportunity for confessions as well. And so that is April 2nd. We have four different talks that are going to be given by religious sisters. And again, the age is senior in high school or 18 to 30 years old.
And let me give the contact information for that once again. You can either go to 10,000vocations.org, 10,000vocations.org, or you can get in touch with Patty McQuillan in your office. And that number is 651-962-6890. I'll give it to you again. It's 651-962-6890. If you want more information, and the website again is 10,000vocations.com. You were talking to me a while ago about a kind of an analogy that you see this archdiocese as being kind of like an apple tree in a way, and that intrigued me, and maybe that would help people sort of understand the scope of what is happening out there in terms of the process of discernment for a vocation.
As you might imagine, the director of vocations prays frequently about vocations.
Yes.
You know, my Mass intentions, praying. I'm always thinking about vocations and praying about vocations. And one day, I just felt like the Lord was giving this analogy or image of vocations being like a very large apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that tree is loaded. And I, you know, you could say that was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I think it is true that vocations tree is loaded, and there's many apples on that tree, but it's a little different than an apple tree, because here you have some apples that are green, you have some that are ripe, and you have everything in between,
mm-hmm.
Some that are large and some that are small, and but it's loaded. And I think as a church, we have to foster those vocations, and we have to call them forth gently. You know, we don't want to shake the tree too hard. We don't want all of them to fall off, because they're not ready. But the Lord, in his time, in his mercy, I believe will bring forth the vocations that we need. And if we don't, you know, there are those who God is calling them to the priesthood, and they're going to go in another direction.
And so. That's a beautiful analogy. You know, we're going to see some of that fruit come to total fruition here as we're going to see some young men ordained to the priesthood. This we're coming up on a very exciting time in the church calendar, aren't we? Where we do see men who are ordained to the priesthood. And we'll have a big celebration. That happens every year in the Archdiocese. That doesn't happen in every diocese around the country every year.
That's
right. But we seem to have fruit every year.
That's right. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing to take your children to.
To see that, yep.
If you've never been to a priesthood ordination, you really should consider that. And so we have men who are going to be, we have eight guys who are going to be ordained May 28th at 10 a.m.
May 28th, 10 a.m. at the cathedral.
Yep. And it's a beautiful celebration. And, you know, anytime I've attended an ordination, it's long, but it doesn't seem that long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, because I think it's, you're caught up in the beauty.
Yep. Oh, that's going to be beautiful. That's May 28th. Put that on your calendar. As Father Bloom said, one of the things that you might do is to take your son to that
that's
ordination.
Right.
Is it a little bit long? It could be a little bit long, but it won't feel that long once you're there. And take them out for pizza afterwards or something. But let them see an ordination, because it is very, very powerful to watch those men lie down and give their lives totally to Christ in a powerful way.
It is. You know, you know, some people go to weddings and they cry.
Yeah.
During the weddings. I go to ordinations and I cry because it is so beautiful. And you're right. Here's someone who is laying down their life to serve the church, to serve, to be there at 2 a.m. at the hospital and to give the anointing of the sick.
Right.
Someone who can be there for the wedding, the funeral, to be there to walk with people and to help them find God and to move closer to God. And that's what this man is doing, who's laying down his life. And so, you know, we pray, the men lay prostrate and during the Litany of the Saints. And that was a very profound moment.
Yes.
Because we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who were calling forth to intercede for these men in their ministry. What a beautiful thing.
It is exciting. Well, that's coming up May 28th. And if you would like more information on the two dinners, one for women, one for men, to discern, to start talking about a vocation, if you're interested in the retreats that are coming up at St. Charles Borromeo for both men and women, go to 10,000 Vocations. That's 10 followed by 30s, vocations.com. You can also...
.org.
You're right there, .org. Thanks for correcting me, .org. Or you can give a call to your office and talk to Patty McQuillan, and that number again is... It is... I've got it right here. It is 651-962-6890. You might make the difference in somebody else's life that isn't even listening to the show right now. Father Bloom, you're a great director, and
thank you.
Thanks for joining us again. It's always good to get an update and find out what's happening in the Office of Vocations.
Great. It's good to be here, and please keep praying for an increase in vocations.
We will. We will. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and when we come back, we're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about faithfulness in your life and how that really is the ingredient to becoming successful in the kingdom of God. We'll be right back in just a moment.
This is Father Rocky with a Catechetical Minute on Relevant Radio. Pop quiz. What's the third commandment? Give up. Here it is. Remember to keep the Lord's Day holy. There are 7 days in a week, and the Lord rested on the seventh day, and we should do the same. Before Jesus rose from the dead, the Lord's Day was Saturday, but since his resurrection, now the Lord's Day is Sunday, because the resurrection is the most important event in human history. We keep the Lord's Day holy by attending Mass and refraining from servile work. It's a serious obligation to attend Sunday Mass, and only a serious reason excuses you. For instance, if you're ill, or you have to care for someone who's sick, or it's physically or morally impossible to attend. But make your best effort anyway. You'll be glad you did. This has been a Catechetical Minute. To learn more about your faith, go to relevantradio.com, keyword cat.
On a corner of my life, and I can see for miles. And the things I was stuck on, things I thought would never change, they just broke open wide.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Hope you are having a wonderful day, walking with Jesus throughout life, at work, at home. Maybe you're in the hospital. Maybe you are recovering from something in your life right now. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And that might seem like a statement that you've heard before or heard other people say, but I want you to hear it in your heart today. Jesus loves you. And he has a plan for your life. And he wants to walk with us. And he wants to be a friend. And he wants us to reflect him in the world today. One of the ingredients that goes into being a disciple of Jesus is the ingredient that is called faithfulness. You know, every time a person is baptized, they receive three three wonderful theological virtues. We call them theological virtues. That's faith, hope, and charity. And you have received faith by virtue of your baptism. That means that there is faith in you. It might not feel like it, but you have been given faith, and it's up to you to exercise that faith and to grow in faith. And you do that by being faithful. In fact, in the Bible, the word faith in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word emunah. Now, we're not going to quiz you on that at the end of the show, but it's the word faith, emunah, pistis in Greek, but emunah carries with it this sense of not just believism, you know. If I say, do you have faith? You'd say, you might respond, well, yeah, I believe. Well, believing in God is not just a mental activity where you say, yes, I make a mental assent to that particular item, you know, that we believe in the Catholic Church. But emunah, faithfulness, faith, really speaks of long continuance, steadfastness, and faithfulness. And so when we talk about having faith, we're also talking about being faithful. And being faithful is something that we do in our vocation. You know, if we're married, or you're a priest, or you are religious, or you're a deacon. But it also has to do with even your job. It has to do with your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with the church, is that we are called to be faithful. Faithful. You know, the first time we see it in the Bible, just to give you a kind of a little idea, is way back in Exodus chapter 17. You may remember that story of Moses on the mount, and they were surrounded by the enemies. And when his hands were held steady, they prevailed. Israel prevailed. But when his hands were heavy and went down, they were defeated. So it says in Exodus 17:12, but Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone, and see if you can't guess which word I'm about to read, which is the word that is faith in Hebrew. I'll read it again. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. Which word do you think there is the word in Hebrew, emunah, that speaks of faith or faithfulness? Well, it's right towards the end. It's the word steady. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. That's one of the first times we see the word faith in the Bible. Steady, faithfulness, long continuance. So this is what God has called us to. You know, we can believe all we want in what the church teaches. And we can believe all we want in every red line in the Bible, everything Jesus said in the New Testament. But if we don't have faith, if we're not faithful to that message, then it is not going to bear fruit. It's not going to make a big difference in society or in your life. In fact, James says, he says, you know, the devil believes, but he trembles. We need to believe. And this idea of believing carries with it two things. And Pope Benedict spoke about this often, and even when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, you know, in Rome, he spoke about it often, this idea of believe and faith. And he said that it really carries with it two things. One is a mental assent. Yes. When we read the Creed, for example, and we've all read the Creed, you know, when we go to Mass, we read this creed and says, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. And we go on in the creed. Not only do we talk about the Father, not only do we talk about Jesus, but we talk about the Holy Spirit when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And then we go on, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. So there's four major things, you know, that we say, you know what? I believe this. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe in his body, the church. But to just make mental assent to everything the church teaches, everything Jesus has passed on to us, is one thing. But your faith isn't complete if you just say, I make mental assent. I agree, you know? If reading the creed and saying the creed in Mass is just a checklist of, yep, I'm still on the same page, it's not going to make a lot of difference. Because the devil believes, but he trembles. The difference is the second part that Pope Benedict mentions. The first is, yes, I do affirm what the Church teaches, but the second part of believing and the second part of faith is I entrust myself to someone else. I'm going to entrust myself to someone else who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the teachings of the Church. I entrust myself, which doesn't mean that I'm just saying it. It means that my life, the actions of my life are literally communicating that I trust, that I believe, because I am going to totally give myself over to Jesus in this. So, for example, if I believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, then I am going to respond in a way where I'm saying, Jesus, I totally trust in you. If I say I believe in what the Catholic Church teaches, then I am also saying, I'm going to trust it. I'm going to trust myself. I'm not the judge. I'm not the master theologian that everything has to pass through me and pass muster. No. No, I'm just a member of the body of Christ, and Jesus has passed on his teaching to the body of Christ, the pillar and support of truth, Scripture says, and I will entrust myself. Do I understand everything? Not hardly. I don't understand everything, and I don't think you do either. But we trust ourselves. We do. We entrust ourselves to the teaching of the Church. And as we are faithful, we start to realize then that God is true and that God's Word will really do something in our life. I've got this really, really, for lack of a better word, cool discovery in the Catechism that I want to share with you about faith and about entrusting ourselves to God and about the natural laws that are in the universe. There's a paragraph in the Catechism that talks about these established laws in the universe. What would one of those be? I mean, you can think with me for a moment. I'll use the obvious one. Gravity. Okay, there's a natural law. You throw an apple up into the air, and odds are 100 times out of 100 times that apple's going to come back down. You know, you throw a baseball up in the air, it's going to come back down. It's not a lot you can do about that because there is a natural law. There is an established law that God laid as a foundation in this world called gravity. And there's other laws when you get into physics, and people like you and Einstein would know what those are, but they're a little above my pay scale. But there are laws in the world that just work over and over and over, and God is the author of those laws. But we'll use gravity for the sake of our conversation today. Listen to what it says in paragraph 346. You might want to write that down, even if you just make a scratch on a piece of paper, you know, and as you're getting in the car, whatever. 346. And here's what it says. This excites me. It says, in creation, God laid a foundation and established laws that remain firm. Okay, pause. Gravity. We're talking about that. In creation, God laid a foundation and established laws that remain firm on which the believer can rely with confidence, for they are the sign and pledge of the unshakable faithfulness of God's covenant. Let me say that last line again, because that's payday right there. For they are the sign. What are the signs? The established laws like gravity. They are the sign and pledge of the unshakable faithfulness of God's covenant. So what does that mean? It means this. Do it today. Try it. Throw something up in the air when you get out of the car. If it comes down, then you're looking at a sign. Looking at a sign of what? A sign of God's unshakable faithfulness, his covenant faithfulness. Isn't that amazing? So if you are doubting, if you are unsure, if you're, you know, you just feel like you don't know what to depend on anymore, throw an apple up in the air. Throw your keys up in the air when you get out of the car. Just do it. Do it. Throw your keys up in the air. Don't do it with your iPhone or anything like that, but because there is also your weakness that could drop that iPhone, but throw keys up in the air. If they come back down, just say to yourself, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what? Your unshakable faithfulness. This is a sign given to me today. It's a sign given to me today that you, Lord, are so faithful that you set established laws as foundations in this world. And I can look at the natural law and I can depend on your supernatural faithfulness. Isn't that beautiful? Will you do that? Will you do that today? You know, seriously, don't just let the opportunity go by. When you get out of the car, throw the keys up in the air and see if they come back down. I'd like to hear from you later. I'd like to know if the keys did come back down. And if they did, what is that a sign of for you? Once again, it's a sign of God's established faithfulness. It is his unshakable faithfulness. Now, why is that so important? Why did I just spend a few minutes talking about throwing keys in the air? Because you need to know that God's faithful. You need to know that God is faithful because your faithfulness is built on his faithfulness. He is a faithful God, a covenant-keeping God. And we live, as it says back in the Old Testament in Habakkuk, it says that we live on his faith. We live by his faithfulness, which has been given to us. My friend, you can be faithful. I can be faithful. It is a matter of the will and taking a step and walking in that faithfulness. And it is the salt of every recipe in heaven, faithfulness. So today, as you continue on at work, or maybe it's over the weekend, you're with the kids on this rebroadcast. Maybe you're going to the big Minnesota Wild game at TCF. Remember, faithfulness, faithfulness. And be cognizant of those things that can stand in your way that would end up in you being not faithful or unfaithful, and deal with those. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be where you drive home on the way, from work to home. Avoid the near occasions of sin and remain faithful to Jesus. So what has God called you to in your life today? What has he called you to in terms of your family, your parish, your own holiness and virtue? Be faithful. Be a faithful servant of God. That's what he's called us to. And next time you read the creed in Mass and you repeat all these things that I believe in the Father and I believe in the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, don't just make mental assent. Entrust yourself to him in everything that you are saying. My friend, it'll make a big difference in your life. It really will. I'm joined today by a good friend. That's Paul Sadek. He's a very familiar voice here on Relevant Radio. And Paul,
people hear me too much.
Oh no, they don't. You got the golden voice of
the silver tones.
Relevant Radio.
And I've got oodles and boodles of things going on in the church around the Twin Cities. Bishop Andrew Cousins invites you to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference Saturday, February 27, 2016, in the Anderson Fieldhouse at the University of St. Thomas. Theme of this year's conference, The Catholic Watchman, calling men to be protectors, providers, and leaders of their family and parish. Check online for registration at rediscover-faith.org. For questions, call Susanna Boley, 651-291-4411.
I love it, Paul. That's the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. I'm going to say it again. It's coming up on the 27th. Get all the men there. The Church of St. Raphael and Crystal invites you to come to see the Vatican International Exhibition of the Eucharistic Miracles of the World. You will see 126 photographic, historically documented Eucharistic miracles from various countries since the Last Supper. All faiths are welcome and admission is free. The exhibit is open on Friday, February 26th from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, February 27th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, February 28th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, visit www.stRaphaelCrystal.org or call the parish office at 763-537-8401.
And a recap, are you familiar with Totus Tuus? It's a fun, energetic, parish-based summer catechetical program for children and junior and senior high youth looking for college-age men and women to serve on TOTUS TUIS teams this summer. If you know an energetic young adult with the ability to witness to the faith, consider inviting them to learn more about this dynamic summer opportunity. Visit archspm.org/TOTUS TUIS. That's archspm.org/TOTUS TUUS. Applications due by March 1st.
Come and enjoy a Lenten homemade potato pancake and soup dinner at St. John the Baptist Byzantine Catholic Church in Minneapolis on Friday, March 4th, 4:30 to 7 p.m. The all-you-can-eat breakfast is $9, and it includes bread, dessert, beverages. For more information, call the parish office at 612-789-6252.
Catholic Parents Online are sponsoring a Lenten retreat presented by Father Robert Altier, Saturday, March 12, 2016, 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Church of St. Agnes in St. Paul. Day begins with 8 a.m. Mass. That's followed by continental breakfast. It includes three dynamic presentations by Father Robert Altier, a delicious lunch, rosary, and more. Register early. Seating is limited. Cost is $25 per person, $40 per married couple. For more information, call 651-705-5409 or email info@catholicparents.org. And what's up next week, Jeff?
Join us next week on the Rediscover Hour as we talk with Father Greg Schaefer and Father Michael Schmitz. Father Greg Schaefer will share with us about his experience as a priest serving with the Venezuelan mission in our archdiocese. We'll also hear from the chaplain for the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota Duluth, Father Mike Schmitz, who will be leading a three-day parish mission at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. That's next time on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.